What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Wizards of Gallery Place podcast. Brendan and Damo back in the show, and it is, god damn it, what is today? I'm already messing up. All right, it is Thursday, the 23rd. Weekend is almost here. Wizard season is almost over. Thank fucking god. Damo, my main man, how are you doing?
Doing all right, man. I got some good hoop bump in before we got on the pod, so I'm feeling nice and refreshed.
Yeah, well, the Wizards certainly are not. They have dropped to, well, they've been in 12th now for a hot minute, but they are now, what, 8 or 9 games under 500? I don't know what it is anymore. Hold on, let me see what it is now. 9 games. Jeez, it's worse than I thought. They are 2.5 games out of the play-in right now. The Bulls are at 18 back. We're at 20.5. Indiana is a half game ahead of us right now. Tonight, let's see what's shaking so far. Nothing interesting. Well, the Magic are winning, which is good. How far are we ahead of the Magic? 2 games. Wow, we could be a game and a half back of Orlando. Interesting.
This is good. This is good.
Oh, there's not a lot of games tonight. Okay, well, that's it then. So nothing really to talk about going on right now, but man, what an ugly, ugly slide that this has been. And it's funny because we should have started recording 15 minutes ago when we actually started talking. So we're going to regurgitate what we've been talking about for the last 15, 20 minutes or so. But this has just been an awful slide. We said coming out of the All-Star break that there was a chance maybe they could get to 7 or 8, maybe even 6. And now they've dropped all the way down to 12th. Guys have been banged up, sure, but to me that's not an excuse at this time of the year because everyone is hurt or has something going on. The coaching has been bad. Wes has got to go. He's terrible. But this has just been about the worst case scenario that could have happened for the Wizards coming out of the break. And it's just another hint that this isn't working. And we need to blow it up. And it's just hard to tell where Ted's mindset is going to be. Because I do think that Ted has a breaking point. And I just don't know how you look at all of Tommy's tenure so far. And you don't do something. Even if it's keeping Tommy. Okay, sure. But the coach has got to go. If you want to keep the core guys, you want to keep the GM, fine. You need to find a new coach to try and get this group together. Because if you say that you're trying to win, and this team is not bad. Yes, they have some holes. All teams have holes, guys. Like, and again, this is where it bothers me when we talk about, like, well, they need more defenders or they need more shooters. Okay, well, go look around the league and tell me teams that don't need any more of those things. Like, teams have holes, guys. I'm sure there's teams that would love an athletic center like Daniel Gafford right now, and we have that luxury. I'm sure guys would love a 50-40-90 guy like Corey Kispert. You know, I'm sure guys would love to – I'm sure teams would love to have a guy like that. They don't have guys like that. I'm sure guys would love to have 6'9 defensive presences like Denny who can handle the ball a little bit, get out in transition. Not a lot of teams – you know, not every team has that. So we have guys that other teams would like to have. Like, the team is not bad, right? So if you want to keep the core guys, that's fine. But to me, you have to get a coach in here that can get more out of this group, because it's clear that Wes just is not that guy. It's just, it's been an awful, awful turn of events since the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, even before the All-Star break, I mean, they've had stints where they've gone, I mean, they had a stint where they went 1-13. Like, come on now. I don't care who's out. You're not supposed to go 1-13. It's not the Detroit Pistons. Like, come on now. Since the All-Star break, they have the second worst record in the league. They're 4-11. The only team that's been worse than them since All-Star break is the Pistons, and they're 1-13. So, like, sorry, like, you're telling me you need a perfect roster 1 through 10 to not go 4-11? Right. Nah, man, I'm not buying that shit. Like, it's more going on than just not having a point guard and, you know, some holes here and there. Like, nah, man, it's something else. Is more at stake here, because you're just not gonna tell me that this is a 4-11 roster. I'm sorry, it's not. Like, it's something else going on. It's something else not getting through from head coach to player, And you got somebody got to be held accountable for that, man. Like, they cannot go into the next season, you know, ended up finishing the year. Say they don't win another game. So you telling me they got 9 games left. They finished the year 4-20. You telling me the head coach is safe? Ain't no fucking way, man. Ain't no fucking way. I'm sorry. Ain't no way.
I mean, even if he wins 4 or 5 of these next 9, he shouldn't be safe. There's just no way you can justify it. This is now year 2. This is where coaches are supposed to take their biggest stride, is in year 2. Once you've learned all your personnel and you've had an offseason to say, okay, here's where we fucked up in year 1. Now let's make these big adjustments for year 2. We haven't seen any. There is no logical justification for keeping him. And if your whole thing is, well, Ted isn't going to fire him, great. That doesn't mean that he shouldn't be fired. Like, and that's part of the conversation that I don't like either, is when people automatically shoot down because it's like, well, Ted's not going to fire him. Great. I don't give a shit what Ted's going to do. I'm telling you that he should be fired.
Right. Like, we know what Ted is likely to do. Like, we can pray probability on a lot of things, but on what should happen. West, if they finish this year, say they win 3 more games to close this year, that means they're going to close the year at post All-Star break. They'll close the year at 7-17. 7-17. I'm sorry. Like, he got to go. He will have to go, man. He got to go. Like, it's like just the team is not that bad, man. It's not that bad. It's not a good team. But it's not a 4-11, 7-17 team. I'm sorry, it's just not.
Right. It's like, and some of the talking points I see too, if the roster is not perfect, then we have to put up with 30-35 win seasons. And it's like, no, the team should not be this bad. Again, they may not be that great, but they shouldn't be this bad. I feel like that's okay to say without trying to like then turn it into excuses and say, well, they were hurt. Wes is still learning. They're still trying to build the culture. No, we don't have time for that. If you're telling me that you're trying to build through Bradley Beal, who is about to be 30, right?
Yes, he'll be 30.
Kyle Kuzma's not getting any younger. Porzingis is not getting any younger. Kuzma's probably in his prime right now. KP is in his prime or about to enter it. So there's no way that you can be patient with this anymore. You have to make a move. And even if you want to rebuild, you have to make a move. Because if Wes can't win with a veteran team, then I don't even want him touching young players. We see how that's gone so far. Who's gotten better? Rui was already decent. He didn't make Rui better. Denny has gotten better, but I think that's more of a personal thing than Wes coming up with this grand scheme to make him useful. Kispert is what he is. And Johnny Davis, until recently, has been ass. So, no, I don't trust him with the rebuilding roster either. So, which brings the point, what is he still doing employed as the coach of this team? If they want to wait until the end of the season or whatever, because, I mean, what are they going to do right now? Like, hire a new coach and go win 9 games? And they're like, no, like, I'm not saying fire him right now. But after the season, he needs to go. There is no logical way you can say that he still needs to keep his job. There's just no way. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and for me, it's not even really like a player development thing, like, because that matters. But I'm just looking at it just from his own mouth, how he stated how he wants to play basketball. And what he said is he wants a slower pace because he believes that helps him on the defensive end. You look at the Wizards, they have 3-point shooters, yet they don't get up 3-point attempts. He likes to slow it down, run his half-court offense, and try to get up efficient shots, but it's not lending itself to you being a top 20 offense or defense. So it doesn't work. I don't want to see, you know, like Monte Morris, 40% 3-point shooter, Beal near 40% this year, KP near 40%, Kispert 40%. Like, you have enough 3-point shooters, but the way you deploy them, they don't get quality looks. Like, you're running this half court stuff where one of your best shooters is kind of playing point guard, and it doesn't make any sense. So, and then you don't get easy buckets, you don't get anything transition. You slow it up so you can run your little offense. that ends up with a grenade shot going up. So it's like, what are you doing? The team gets the rebound. They go down. They get a three ball up within 4 seconds. You already losing the math. So I don't want him coaching any type of team, whether it be a young team where you're trying to play like a modern NBA roster, or a veteran team where you're trying to maximize the best guys on your team with high three-point attempts and transition play and getting layups and fouls. I don't want him touching that. So I think he needs to go back to being an assistant that handles the defense. Focus on just that. Because I don't see the head coaching philosophy there, galvanizing, leading men. I just don't see that.
No, I don't either. And we can touch, and we talked about this before we started recording, but how it sort of affects Tommy. I think a lot of people are assuming that it looks bad on Tommy if he fires Wes and that it can be seen in a bad light. Well, I mean, again, and I've made this point before, but I would rather you recognize you're wrong and make a change than double down on the stupidity, because you're just going to piss people off more. Like, to me, and it's the same thing with anything, like with friends, with a relationship with your loved one, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, whatever. Like, I would rather you own up to something if you made a mistake than continue to do the same shit and then, you know, tell me that the grass is green and sky is blue and all that other shit. Like, no, like, be real. Say that you fucked up. He wasn't the guy. And then just try and find someone else. This isn't hard. And then if the next guy doesn't work out, then yes, then it is a general manager problem with being able to identify the talent that is needed for the modern NBA head coaching position. Then we can look at the GM and say, okay, whatever. But I think that he's entitled to mess up a coaching hire. Like, he can fire Wes and then hire someone. I mean, who's going to, like, really cry about that? Who's going to be upset that, wow, Tommy fired the head coach, he's got to go? No, like, it doesn't have to be that way. Like, the team that he's constructed is not ass.
There are coaches that have done more who have been fired. Like, Nate McMillan got the Hawks to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? And a year and a half later, he was fired because the mandate was better than an eighth seed, right? You bring DeJounte Murray, you know, your draft picks are pretty good. Like, you have Trae Young there. Like, you didn't move Collins. The mandate was better than an eighth seed. You didn't meet it. You got fired. Like, the
simple
fact
that,
you, it's that simple. Like, the fact that you bring Wes here, you bring the three BOKP crews back, you know what I'm saying? You're expecting to build off what you did the previous year with a supposedly better roster, and you're a 12th seed. That's unacceptable, man. You got three 20-point-per-game scores. That's unacceptable. You should be better than a 12th seed. Like, I'm not trying to hear it. Like, no, they're not a top 4 seed roster. No, they're not a contender. Understand all of that. But I don't think the Knicks are more talented than the Wizards. The Knicks got just as many holes and question marks in their roster as the Wizards do. But they play hard. Their coach does not tolerate defensive lapses. He will bench your ass. And he plays to his guys' strength, whether they like it or not. Yep. And they win games. They compete. So I'm not trying to hit excuses, man. Like, if the mandate was playoffs and you can't even make the damn play in, somebody got to be held accountable.
Right. And it's not like this is a normal job where you can say, okay, they're people. We're just going to counsel them for this. We'll go over it. And then, you know, we need to start seeing some better results. No, like, this is professional sports. Like, people get fired for much, much less. You need to be able to show that you can try and turn a team around pretty quickly. And in coaching life cycles, 2 years is more than enough. Like, you know by then, okay, if you, like, after year one, it's like, eh, okay. And again, I wanted the fire Wes after year one. I know I wasn't alone on that, but I really just had the feeling after year one that he just wasn't going to be the guy. And I said that several times throughout the season. I'm like, this is just not it. Now, definitely after year two, and we're 9 games under 500 with, what did you say, 9 left to play? You definitely got to go, man. Like, you are definitely not it. And again, it's not even like KP missed 4/5 of the season, and Kuzma was in and out all the time. Brad was in and out all the time. What were you saying, that we were like bottom 10th in like games missed or something like that for injury?
So they're bottom 10 in games missed, players game missed for, you know, for injury. So they've been one of the healthiest teams in the NBA. They've been a top 10 healthy team in the NBA this season. So they cannot use injuries as an excuse. Like Beal missed a chunk, but he's played enough time for you to kind of see what this team is. KP has been relatively healthy, been one of the healthiest seasons for him. Kuzma has been relatively healthy. Like, they've been healthy for a good chunk to know what you have and to see the product that the coach is putting out on the floor. He ain't got it done. He ain't got it done, man.
Just wonderful, wonderful times around here. Let's go ahead and look at some of the... First off, actually, let's talk about the Dinwiddie thing, because everyone's been kind of talking about it. I honestly don't have much to say about it. I didn't have an issue with what he said. I know that people are kind of irritated because he could have done more, and he probably, like, as a professional, I mean, you know, you probably don't want to badmouth one organization so much, but I mean, to be honest, I kind of get it, you know? But I don't have an issue with anything that he said, strictly because, like, we've all been saying the same shit now for like 3 or 4 or 5 years. So.
Yeah. My thing about it was like, okay, yeah. What he said has merit because we've said it, right? Like, what are we doing? What's the direction? But to me, that has nothing to do with why he was bad here. I think if anything, him being bad here is a symptom of the issue. Like, who the hell brings Spencer Dinwiddie, coming off of ACL, in to be their number two option? A dysfunctional organization. Like, an organization that's ignored the point guard spot in the draft too many times, and so then they're desperate and have to bring in a guy coming off ACL to be their number two option and savior at the point guard spot. Like, that's what dysfunctional orgs do. So, yes, he actually represents the very thing he's talking about. So from that sense, yeah, but it's like, that's not why you played poorly here. Like, you played poorly here because you just played poorly. Like, it's nobody's fault but yours. So him bringing up the whole, oh, they were trying to make, they think Denny is the next Luka, and, you know, guys thought I was trying to take over and all of that. Like, that had nothing to do with you shooting them grenade, step back. Yeah. Like, come on, man. Why you heated the paint like lava and wouldn't drive? That ain't had nothing to do with that. That's you.
Like, and number one, who in the Wizards locker room was saying that Denny was going to be the next Luka? That's my thing. If you were just reading tweets and getting mad at that, and now you're going to use that as a way to attack Denny, who was still a younger player in this league and is still trying to get better. And I don't give a shit how much we bash him. As fans, it comes from a position of, like, love, right? Like, we don't get on him to say, like, we want him to be good. It's out of love when we criticize him. When you, as a player, not even with the organization anymore, on a podcast that thousands of people listen to, that you're just going to go out there and kind of throw him under the bus like that. Like, don't fuck over our guys like that, man. Fuck you.
That shit was so low, man. Because, and when we talk about it, we talk about it from the standpoint of his stance that think he's, you know, what, you know, that kind of try to sell him to the fan base and to other, you know, sell him around the league as the type of player he can be. Right. But that has nothing to do with what Dinwiddie was doing on the floor. Denny wasn't even a starter. He only started 8 games that year. Right. KCP was the starter. Kuzma was the starter. Daniel Gafford was the starter, along with Beal and Dinwiddie. Those were the guys. So, like, for you to invoke, oh, they wanted Denny to be the next Luka, bro, that had nothing to do with why you was out there looking like some straight trash. Nothing to do with y'all weren't even on the floor together.
Now, if he wanted to go into like Wes and Montrez or something like that, cool. And you know what? That'd probably make a lot more sense. But number one, you shouldn't be throwing any players under the bus because you never know who you're going to team up with again. And number two, you don't do it to a young player who, like, is trying to make a name for himself and is trying to get better and has already dealt with a lot of criticism in his young NBA career. Like what good, like, why does it make you feel good or necessary to, like, throw him under the bus like that and take a shot at him? It's just really messed up for me. If it was a veteran who'd been in the league for a long time and it was, like, known that he was an issue or whatever or had a really strong personality, I get that. But not to Denny, man. He's too nice of a kid. Fuck you, man. Don't talk about our guys like that.
My thing with it is, like, and I made this example on Twitter. I'm just like, okay, when Russell Westbrook was here, right, we gave him a lot of shit for his play, right? And we were just like, yo, like, he's not getting it done. Like, but so what's the reason for it? Well, Russ came out and said, hey, I'm hurt. I'm playing on one quad, right? And then when he got healthy, he started balling like shit. Could you imagine if he got up there and said, yeah, you know, it didn't work out in Washington because they thought Rui was Kawhi. Like, what? Like, people would have laughed him out. Like, it would have been like, are you serious right now? Yeah. What the hell does that have to do with you looking like some garbage for 50 games? So it just like that shit, just no accountability, just throwing shit out there to see what stick, to get the fan base all riled up and deflecting accountability on yourself, man. Like, and then he talk about contracts, people playing for contracts, as if he didn't have a games played contract incentive, which is why his ass didn't want to miss games like the medical staff recommended. So it's like, boy, you, if that ain't the pot calling the kettle, like, you literally were playing games that the medical staff did not want you to play because you wanted to get all of your coin.
Yeah.
So it's like, come on, get out of here, man.
All right, let's get into some of these here. But yeah, I mean, it's again, any former player that's gonna come at our guys unnecessarily, fuck you, man. Like, our guys did nothing. If you want to get mad at the organization, you want to get mad at the coach, GM, whatever, do that. But don't get mad at our guys, especially the young players. It's just not cool. It's not cool.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start at the top here and go to the bottom. It doesn't show me in time order. How much does Johnny Davis need to work on in the summer / need to average in summer league for him to be considered as a piece moving forward? How much does Johnny Davis need to work on? Well, let's see. He still needs to work on his shooting. I don't think you can work on your confidence. I think that he just needs to get more minutes as the season closes. They definitely need to be playing him a shit ton in the summer league. I don't want to put like a number on it because I feel like that's still unfair to the young player. Yeah, I mean, you would think at least like 15 to 20 points, right? I mean, if you were to put a number on it. Definitely, I mean, I just want to see more efficiency from him, and I just want to see him look more confident. Just look like a decent NBA player right now is pretty much where I place the expectation for him, just because of how awful he started. And I tell you what, it's good that they're finally playing him. And it's good to see him have some good moments out there. He had that reverse layup or whatever that he did last night, I think it was. And it's like, man, like, this is what we want to see.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's a couple of shots that he's taken that, you know, didn't go in. But it's, I like that, you know. Be aggressive. Get your shot. Because at this time of the year, it really doesn't matter. Like, we are all but mathematically eliminated. We're not making the play-in. We're done. So
no, we're done.
Take all the shots you want. Like, who else is going to do it? Well, we don't care about Brad KP because we've been watching all that shit all season. And it's led us to 32 wins. So I don't care. I don't know if you have anything specific on John. I mean, obviously shooting. He needs to work on shooting, and he needs to be a way more efficient player. But outside of that, I mean, it's just I have to see him play more, and I haven't watched him enough.
Yeah, I want to see him kind of I want to see him play his game, man. Like, I want to see him play with that Big Ten Player of the Year confidence that I saw on his game film. Like, because I don't want the, you know, I don't want the you know, the day-to-day of being an NBA player, I don't want that to get into his head and he, like, and it changes who he is as a player. Like, you made your bread and butter on being a dog on defense and kind of getting your rhythm, getting to the rim, and kind of getting to your spots in that mid-range, right? So, like, keep that. Keep that part of your game and then just add on, build on top of it. Like, I don't want them trying to – I don't want him to, like, change himself into like a 3-and-D where the only shots he taking is threes and layups, and you know, he just standing in the corner watching. And so now every three ball he take, it's like do or die. Like, if I miss, I'm going to the bench. Like, no, like, you know, get to your shit, man. Get to that little stop and pop, you know, get your little euro off, you know, to get your layups in there. Like, work on your stuff, man, so you build that confidence, and then add that three ball range as a layer on top of the game you already have. Like, play your game. Like, it's a reason you went top 10, man. Like, play your game. So, I you know, that's all I would say. Like, I want to see him play his game these last nine games, and then in the summer league, really, like I say, add layers to it on what he already has.
Yeah, because I think as a player, when he's confident, he has, like, a decent foundation of skill set, right? It's just play confidently. And again, I need to see more efficient shooting. That was from Brill. At Brill, of course. Thanks, buddy. Wizards Hive _, one of my favorite follows. Funny guy. What are your guys' favorite foods? Well, this is a hard one because I like so many food. I don't know. Like, I'm going to have a really boring answer. Like, wings or something? I don't know. Mac and cheese is fun. I'm trying to think of what I eat all the time. I eat Mexican food or Hispanic food a lot. Whether it's like going into a restaurant or getting like the little microwave meals or making something here at home. A lot of Mexican food, I would say. Pizza, I guess. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, this one's easy for me. It's pizza and seafood of all varieties. Crab legs, shrimp, lobster. Like, I love seafood. And then, like I said, pizza. Like, I get on my deathbed, that's probably what I'm gonna ask for.
For a couple years now, I started cooking live crabs. We have for those that live in the Northern Virginia, like I guess Manassas area, there's a seafood shop called Crosby's. And a couple years ago, I was really interested in like trying to do that. I'd seen a bunch of videos on it, so I just copied like this one guy, and I bought a little pot with a steam rack or whatever, and tried cooking live crabs, and they turned out pretty good. So it's something that I've been doing now for the past couple years. I do enjoy seafood. I probably couldn't eat it all the time. But I do enjoy crab legs. I also get J.O. Bay. I don't do Old Bay. So I have to get J.O. when I do it. But yeah. At M. Mike Bala. Which of the, quote, mid three, end quote, would you trade for a real point guard while keeping the other two? If Tommy could do a Beal for Dame swap, I'd be all in. KP could maybe get you DeJounte Murray-level player, and Kuz could net a Fultz, Emmanuel quickly tier player. Here's the thing. If you just keep shuffling the pieces around,
right,
and you don't build a more complete roster, you're never really getting that much better. The Trailblazers would laugh at us if we offered them Bradley Beal for Damian Lillard, so I don't think that would happen. KP could get you a DeJounte Murray level player. I'm not sure about that. Plus, what does that actually do for us again? Like, if we're just shuffling, Kuz could net you a Fultz IQ tier player. Pass on that. I think I'd rather just keep Kuzma. So I do think that we have some guys that we can try and move around to get. Like, if we trade Gafford and Denny for Fred VanVleet, I don't know. There's other ways that we can get a point guard besides splitting up those three. But I mean, even honestly, like, yeah, we do need to improve at point guard, but I'm not gonna, it's not gonna be the end all be all if they don't come out with out of the offseason with an all-star level point guard. I mean, I just don't think that we should need that. And again, I think a better coach would be able to help with some of that. So
yeah, I think you know, it's already been enough turnover. But to answer the question, like, and I've kind of alluded to this before in some of my tweets, but for me, like, it's kind of about playing a modern style of basketball. And I just think KP, though he's been really, really good, I feel like he's like an injury away from being untradeable or unmovable, because of already the injury history, and then him being 7'3", and then how you have to play him, right? Like, he's not a guy who can get his own shot. Like, somebody has to get the ball to him. He's not a playmaker. Like, he's not a Jokic that can draw a double and he can orchestrate the offense. Like, he's like a scorer. Like, you give him the ball, he can kind of shoot over top of you. But he's not quite a five because he can't bang and, you know, kind of impose his will. He's not the type that's going to go get, you know, 10, 15 free throws like an Embiid, right? So he's kind of a jump shooting type dependent player. And then defensively, he's a drop big. So for me, like, the lack of versatility, I think I would look to move him for like a point. Like, if you could get, I mean, I don't even know who would be on that same tier as him as a point guard.
The thing that we just have to keep in mind when we talk about moving guys for a point guard is that team is going to have to then pay him. So we would be taking back another high salary point guard that team wouldn't want. And if you're trying to add a guy like KP, well, why wouldn't you want to have a high salary point guard? So that to me is...
Right, exactly. It would have to be a situation where, like, a team had a surplus of point guards. Like, they got a young guy that's shown that they could be a starter, and they're missing a center. But then they give you, the vet point guard that's expensive, and you give them the center back in KP. I don't know that there's a team out there that exists that way, but yeah, just on value, like, I would be trying to move KP for a equally talented point guard or wing player, because I think long term, I think that allows you to play more like a modern team.
Like, I don't even want to do this, but the only player that's coming to mind right now is Ben Simmons, and I have no interest in doing that. So I'd pass.
I don't consider him a point guard. He's a center to me.
Like, I'm just trying to think of, like, what are teams that have, like, that are clear liabilities on payroll that teams want to get rid of. Like,
yeah, see, like, I mean, it depends on how you view KP value. Like, do you view KP as a bad contract where you can only take back a bad value point guard? Or like what point guard do you think would be like an equal talent to KP?
That's tough because I think that KP is actually really good. Like, Fred Chris Paul at this point?
Chris Paul now?
Yeah.
Ooh. See, I don't know if I would do that just because of the age. Like, I couldn't do that.
I wouldn't either. I'm just trying to realistically, like, I don't know, Drew Holiday?
Nah, Drew Holiday is... Yeah, nobody... Nah, I'm thinking, like, maybe, like, Jamal Murray. Like, that range of player.
Okay.
But obviously, the Nuggets wouldn't do it because they have Jokic there. But like that tier of point guard, like people brought it up on Twitter, was talking about like Jordan Poole. Like if the Warriors offered Jordan Poole for KP.
Oh yeah, yes, I would do that. Yes,
I think I would do that because I just think Jordan Poole is going to have more imprint on the game because he has the ball. Like he's just obviously he's got his issues. Sometimes his shot selection and things. But I just think those type of players are just more dynamic and can kind of control the game more. Whereas with KP, like, you've seen teams just kind of take him out of the game. They put a small on him, take his legs out of him, and then he looks like a big ass. He looks like a 7'3" shooting guard that can't dribble. You know, so you know, I like KP, but if I could find an equal value point guard, I would do that deal.
Yeah, I would too. Again, I guess just the point for me in the long run is like, well, what do you like? What are we gunning for? Like, if we're just going to keep being, but if we're not adding talent and we're just shuffling the cards in the deck, then just rebuild, man.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm saying, like, say you could get a trade like that. Say you could, I don't know.
Get Jordan Poole, yeah, but then I'm rebuilding and retooling the franchise around him.
So say like the Blazers would give you Anthony Simons for KP. Uh-huh. I would go. So now I got Simons, Beal, Kuzma. You got Gafford that can slide into that starting five spot, and then in the draft, I'm taking the best wing possible. Like that to me, like say if you get the you can get Brandon Miller.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now I got Simons, Beal, Brandon Miller, Kuzma, Gafford. I think to me that's a more modern team than any iteration you could build around KP, because KP is just such a weird fit for like how he plays. Well,
and I think a lot of this will depend too on where we actually end up in the lottery and where we'll actually end up picking, because shit, man, God forbid we slide up into the one of the top two picks and are able to land Scoot, then, you know, we can trade KP for wings and whatever. Or at that point, you probably just bring the entire team back, get a different coach, and hallelujah. But,
right, because then in that scenario, you don't need to do anything. You just bring back the band, and then you just prop Scoot in there.
Could you imagine getting Scoot? You'd have Scoot, Beal, Kuzma, KP, Gafford, and then you still have DeJuan off the bench. You maybe make an upgrade. You still have Denny, Corey. Like, there would literally be no excuse at that point. Like, literally none. Zero. None.
None.
I mean, I think there's none now. There would be negative excuses if we were able to get
some. You try to with that man, then you just like, come on now. Get the hell out of here.
How would you construct this roster given the big three comes back, and who do you have in mind? So I haven't looked at the free agency pool yet, but I would say, I mean, starting five, I think that we need something different at point guard right now. I don't know what type of player that needs to be, but I just wanted something different. Something has to happen there. I know that there's a team that'll take Monte Morris for a couple second round picks or something like that. Something has to change there. But other piece wise, I mean, I don't know. Like, we still need more shooting. We still need more defense. I don't know. I don't have any specific players in mind. I mean, we already have decent players that can protect the rim. We have an athletic big man. We have a big man and KP that can stretch the floor, is pretty elite inside the 3-point line. We have Kuzma. We have Beal. I mean, I don't know, man. I guess more defensive specialists, I guess. I don't know. I have to look at the free agent pool. I'm not really sure. That's the crazy thing, and that's why it bothers me that we're this bad, because it's like, yeah, we can say we need this or that, but these are things that, like, a lot of teams need. So I don't know.
Yeah, when I tweeted this out, like, I kind of broke down their roster, like, just where I would see, like, the ideal fit for the guys we have. You know, I said point guard is missing. Starting point guard is missing. Like, yeah. you need a player there.
DeJuan's great. We're not moving. Great back.
Right. And then you got Beal at the two. Starting small forward, I think is missing. Because Kuz to me is better suited as a four. Get him closer to the line.
So for you personally, you would rather go back to have Gafford off the bench and then move, and then you would just shift down the Kuzma and KP then back to their original spots. That's what you would do.
Exactly. And so you need a 3-and-D small forward that can kind of switch 1 through 5, but they can also knock down a 3-ball. They don't have that.
Paul George.
Oh yeah. If you're asking for a star, but I mean, even if it was like a Lou Dort, even like.
OG.
OG Anunoby, like, perfectly slotted right there, starting small forward, book it. And then obviously Kuzma, KP at the five. Your backup five, you got Gafford. Denny as the backup four. Kispert is kind of like that 3-2. And then I would have Jordan Goodwin as the backup one because of the price. Because DeLon making the MLE, Monte making the MLE, like, I feel like that's too much money. That's like $17 million combined, and you don't really have an answer. So you might as well pay Goodwin, who's making like $2 million. I think he can do pretty much something similar to what DeLon is doing.
Yeah, so would you try trading DeLon then?
Yeah, if I could get value, yeah. Like, I would try to move off Monte and DeLon. Because, like I said, that's $17 million that you still don't have an answer at the position. So you're basically paying, you see what I'm saying? Like, you're paying $17 million annually to not have a starter.
I know. And I guess it wouldn't be so bad. Number one, if Goodwin was better, and then number two, if Johnny Davis gets better, because then I think that makes that scenario a lot easier to cope with. But I wouldn't be eager to move. Like, it would have to be we're getting a late first round pick to move DeLon, and that's kind of where it would have to be for me in order to do that. I wouldn't do like a player swap or the 3 second round, I don't know, whatever, but it would have to be a late first this year, and that only for me to move him.
Yeah, like I said, it would depend. Like, because again, if you don't hit on a point guard in this draft, you don't get a point guard in this draft, I just don't see where you're gonna, you know, what type of trade can materialize. But I'm just thinking out loud as far as like your asset, you know, resource allocation, right? Like, so, you know, I feel like Goodwin can do like 80% of what DeLon does, but at a fifth of the price. And if you have a star point guard or a starting caliber point guard, well, that's the guy that's playing majority of the minutes. So why are you paying a MLE for a DeLon Wright?
I do like that they tried getting on top of trying to find cheap guys to have on the team for next year. Like, right now we're going to have Anthony Gill's on a cheap deal. Xavier Cooks is on a cheap deal. Jordan Goodwin is going to be on a cheap deal. So they have some guys at the bottom, right, that are like, you know, hoping can be decent. And then you have your cost controllable still. You have Kispert. You'll have Denny for another year, which I still think they should probably try moving him this summer. And you have Johnny Davis. And you'll have the draft pick this year. So those right there are your cost controllables. And then that's where your salary starts kicking up a little after that. Then you get to the DeLon and Monte tier. And then after that, you have Gafford. And then after that, I believe it's the big three.
Right.
So.
For sure.
Let me get back to this. I have too many apps open right now. Ron, 561-70489. What do you expect Denny to work on in the summer? And what his max potential is? What he needs to work on? Pretty much everything still. And honestly, I like the feel that Denny brings to the game. Like, I feel comfortable when he's out there, but he has to start making some shots at some point. And I still think, like, sometimes he still has, like, mental lapses, you know, late game when he gets really frustrated and things like that. And I think some of that will come as he matures and ages. Again, he's still a really young player. He's, what, 21 years old? 22? Something like 19. That. Yeah, I mean, that's still really young. I mean, he's where Corey Kispert is probably at mentally when he graduated. So he'll get there. But still shooting. And again, it's kind of the same thing with Johnny. I just need you to be more efficient than what you are. Because when centers start to guard you and they don't even have to come out past the free throw line to contest your jump shot, then that's a problem for me.
Yeah.
So and other teams can get away with it. The Warriors can get away with having Draymond because they have Steph, Clay, and Jordan Poole. This team can't get away with having guys like that. So,
right.
Anything you in particular want to see Denny work? So his left hand maneuvering pick and roll, and then still just repping out the jump shot because his shot still looks fine. Maybe there's something small that he still needs to tweak with it, but he's got to rep it out. we need to see the percentages go up. But that's about it for me, honestly.
Yeah, I honestly want to see him get better around the rim. Like, I think that's something tangible he could work on that'll actually translate in live games, because he has a really good first step for a guy that's going to be playing mostly minutes at the four. And I think that's something he can kind of use to his advantage. Like, try to be a guy that can grab it off the rim, push the pace, go get a layup in transition, get fouled. When they want to put a center on you, pull his ass out to the perimeter, break his ass down off the dribble, and go get fouled or get a layup. Like, get you a floater. Get you – learn how to finish with both hands around the rim, you know, through contact. Play stronger in the paint. I think that's a better path for him than trying to rep out threes, you know, 1,000 threes a day and try to be like this 3-and-D shooter. Like, I just don't think he's ever going to be that. So play to your advantage. Like, you watch Scottie Barnes, and Scottie Barnes don't shoot a lot of threes, but he's effective because he can get to that paint. He got handle, he got a first step, and he's crafty around the rim. Why not emulate that?
Adam Thomas, the honorable AT, also one of my favorites. Roster construction going into the summer, we already talked about it. What coach could make this core work? We touched on this a little bit before. I'm trying to think, because would you hire Udoka?
Yes.
I think that's who my number one would be. Outside of that, I'm trying to think of veteran coaches who could be available, because I'm not sure I want to hire a rookie again. The optics on it wouldn't be good, so I don't think that they'll go that route if they do decide to move on from Wes. I think it'll be like another Scott Brooks type situation. Kenny Atkinson, for sure, I think is someone that would have to be considered. I don't know if Detroit's going to pull the trigger on this, but I want to ask. Dwayne Casey, yes or no?
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm trying to, like, Mike D'Antoni?
I wouldn't mind it in, like, an assistant role or assistant or consultant, but not as a head coach, no.
Someone DM'd me the other day about Steve Nash, and I was like, nah, I'm good.
Hell no.
Man, I wish the Mavericks didn't hire Jason Kidd. Yeah, we could bring Scott Brooks back.
Although I'm sure he would have a better offense than what Wes is putting out here.
Lionel Hollins?
Nah.
Yeah. Dave Yeager, actually, I would be intrigued by. I think he's coaching, or did he take time away? I forget what his situation was, but I thought he was with Philadelphia. Let me see real quick. But Dave Yeager, I would actually like. He serves as an assistant coach for Philadelphia, I think, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, he was the head coach of the Dakota Wizards a while back. Was last a head coach, yeah, for the Kings in 2016 to 2019. So he's not that far out, far removed from being a head coach. Defensive guy. Had some good teams with the Grizzlies. I wouldn't mind it. I'm just trying to think of veterans off the top of my head that have that experience. I mean, so far, the clear-cut one that doesn't have, like, a bad background or anything is, like, Kenny Atkinson. Like, that's literally the only one I'm thinking of right now that makes any sense.
Sure, it'll be other names that develop. You don't know who's going to get fired this offseason, but...
Yeah, who knows? Maybe Greg Popovich will come coach the Wizards. Let's see. I'm trying to look at other teams right now to see whose coach may get canned. Toronto's not going to fire Nick Nurse, but if they do, that would actually be my first call. Well, we did talk about him earlier. Nate McMillan, yes, no?
Nate McMillan, no.
Okay. Let's see any of these Western Conference teams that may ditch the coach. Okay, and no one sticks out. So that conversation's over. So pretty much, Kenny Atkinson, Ime Udoka, I think those would be the two. If we're talking veteran coaches, there are some interesting, we talked about this a while back, there are some ones that intrigue me that would be first-timers. But I don't think, I think that if you move west, it would be because of the inexperience and you kind of want someone who is able to command a locker room. And to me, that would mean someone who has done it before. So I don't think that they would hire a first timer if they chose to let go of Wes. So I think it, if they let go of Wes, it would have to be someone that will be available that's already been kind of discussed under the table. Like, yes, we will hire you again, like a Scott Brooks situation, I think is what would have to happen for Wes to get fired.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe they bring in like a veteran, like a former head coach to be his lead assistant.
And just, somebody, you know what? You should have done that 2 years ago. So I wouldn't buy that. Sorry. Who do you guys think the Wizards should target free agency? Blah, blah, blah. Should the Wizards draft best player available? Any offseason trades you would like to see the Wizards make? So first one, free agency, we already talked about. Should the Wizards draft best player available? If we were a football team, I'd tell you yes. Since we're a basketball team, I guess it kind of depends on where we pick. But it depends on who that – I guess yes, right?
Yeah, but see, it's like you know, best player available. I mean, that's relative because if you're taking the best player, but you're not putting him in the best spot because you overloaded the position, well, then now he's not the best player available. So, you know, I think if all the talent is even, then you take the best fit. But if it's a guy that's clearly better for you, better on talent, then yeah, you take that guy. So it just depends, man.
Like if we had, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess they should go best player available. If it's going to be like someone who is a shooting guard though, or something like that, then, but if it was a shooting guard, for example, then I would hope that they have a plan for Bradley Beal then, unless they're going to throw out
Spider Mitchell, then hell yeah, you take him.
Yeah.
Or even if not, even if you thought he was going to be the next Caris LeVert, well, you need a bench scorer. So, yeah, take him.
Any offseason trades? I know we talked earlier, like a pull for Porzingis that I would do. Pretty much anything that would ignite a rebuild, I'm all for. There's nothing really specific, I guess. Or if they want to keep the current team and go out there and get OG Anunoby, that's kind of where I'm at. Outside of that, I don't really have anything off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm gonna feel the same way. I really feel like they got to do it in the draft, man. They got to get a pick right in the Tommy era for once.
Don't know if I'm too late to add onto the list, but I would like you guys to talk about coaching because clearly there's a disconnect last time this happened. Ernie was fired. Also, the chances of Bob Myers coming to DC, slim, but I don't know if you guys have heard anything. Coaching, we've talked about it. No, I feel like we talk about coaching like every podcast. The chance of Bob Myers coming to DC. Probably really, really low. But I would be here for it because that would mean Tommy is not the head decision maker anymore. And I mean, he's won multiple championships. I mean, there is no doubting this guy. He's one of the best GMs, if not the best GM in the game. Yes, I would welcome him with open arms. Chances of him coming, though, yeah, probably really, really slim, I would imagine.
Yeah, probably not happening.
All right, these next two questions are for you. Who do you guys like at the sixth spot in the draft, if that's where things hold? And if they go to number two, oh, I guess we did kind of talk about this. Do you take Scoot or Miller?
Oh man.
So I'll say this. when you look around the league, there really aren't a lot of teams that have a point guard problem. And so I think for playing politics and for positional value, like for an organization, I think I would go Scoot. But if they decided to go Miller, I definitely wouldn't be upset about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so, man, so the first part of it, they said, who would you take at, he said number six?
Yeah, first he said number six, and then if we get to two, who would you take? Assuming Wemby is off the board.
Yeah, so at number six, it's tough because I feel like that's the part of the draft where it does, it's not as obvious, because you have, I think there's a consensus top five. Vic, Scoot, Brandon Miller, and then the Thompson twins. But then after that, it's kind of like, well, what do you need? So, man, this might change because, you know, it's a lot of ball left, and then you got combine and all of that, workouts. I'll probably go right now. If we locked in at six, I'm probably going Cam Whitmore.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Are you assuming Anthony Black is off the board by then?
No, this is at pick six. So,
right.
You know, I'm assuming the consensus top five goes. So, like I say, Vic, Scoot, Brandon Miller, and then the two Thompson twins. So, if we got the sixth pick, I think I would go Cam Whitmore.
That was interesting. I think I would go Anthony Black.
Yeah. I like Black, but I think Cam Whitmore is more talented. And we still need a wing.
I was going to ask you if you were a Dick guy, and that was like totally would have not come across the right way. Grady Dick, are you a fan, yes or no?
I am a fan. I think he projects as like a Kevin Huerter type player. I'm not taking him at six, though.
I watch him play, and he just seems like really awkward whenever I've seen him play. I don't know if it's actually like that or not.
Yeah, he can shoot, and he's not just like a stationary shooter. Like, he can multi-platform, sidestep, dribble, off-the-bounce type shooter. So I like his game. That to me would be like a safe pick. Like, you just know what you're getting. So, you know, just slot him in. You know he's going to knock down shots. But, yeah, I think they can do better than that. Oh, and the other part at number two, if we got the this one's tough because
it is tough.
The more I watch, the more I lean Brandon Miller.
Yeah, same.
Because it's like, all right, if the talent is equal, 6'9 or 6'2.
I know.
But then it's like, but we need a dynamic point guard, and you're not going to get a more dynamic point guard than Scoot.
Right. That's why I still would go Scoot. But again, I love Brandon Miller. If it was, it's honestly a coin flip, and I'd be like, all right, fine, whatever. But I feel like if we draft one, I'm going to be like, oh man, we should have taken the other one just to complain. But. Man, that whoever has the number two pick this year is going to have a really hard decision. Unless it's like the Hornets, then your decision is easy.
Yeah, if it's the Hornets, they know what they're doing. It's Brandon Miller all day. But yeah, I think for the Wizards, I still think I might go Brandon Miller, man. Because
it's tough.
He's a shooter. He's 6'9", man. If you can get him to learn how to put it on the floor effectively, man, you might have a Paul George, Tatum type player. And those are the guys that run the league. Not 6'2 point guards. So, especially 6'2 point guards that are shaky shooters.
Yeah. Favorite prospect 6 through 10, please. Riley Richards. Riley, another one of my favorites. The last one was Faisal, by the way. Also one of my favorites. I like you guys. You guys are fun.
For sure. For sure.
Riley, favorite prospect 6 through 10. I'll leave this one to you.
My favorite prospect,
well, 6'10". I'll chime in, but I'll let you go first.
Yeah, my favorite prospect, 6'10", just because I just like bucket getters, is Keyonte George. Like, I just think he's flat out bucket. So that's my favorite prospect in that 6'10" range.
Amen Thompson, I really like.
See, I got him top five, though. Like, I think he's booked top five.
True. Grady Dick, I guess. Anthony Black, I already mentioned. I love Anthony Black. Where do you feel about Chris Murray and where his value is? Because I know he's a little older, but I don't know.
Yeah, where... I like him. I like him bottom of lottery or like in that 15 to 20 range. Again, another guy, safe pick. Like, I think he's going to be a 10-year pro, you know, pedigree. He can shoot the ball. So, like, you know, he fits. So you just know he's going to come in and shoot the leather off of it and just play, you know, sound ball within the system. But I don't see nothing special there.
So I have this soft spot for GG Jackson. I really like athletic players, especially at, like, the 3 and 4. So I'm not going to say he'd be my favorite for that range. I think he would be more like a late teen, early 20. But I do like GG a lot.
You know who he plays like to me? When I watch him? Because his skill set is so tantalizing. Like, a guy that big with handle and passing and can play off the bounce. Like, he plays to me kind of like Julius Randle. Where you're just like, yo, why did you take that shot? Like, but that shit went in. But then it's like, damn, why did you take that shot when he misses? He's just got balls, man. It's just like, you watch some of the stuff he's able to do at that size, and you're like, man, if you could get him to do that consistently and be more efficient, he could be a top five player in the draft. But he's so streaky. Like, he'll have a game where he look like the best player in the nation, and then he'll have another game where he go, you know, 3 for 13. And it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. But he's the talent is crazy. Yeah, very young, very raw. But like I say, when I watch him sometimes, it kind of reminds me of Julius Randle. Like, a dude that big that can put it on the floor, hit you with the tween, step back. And you like, man, if you don't get your big ass on the block, but then he makes it. But then he makes it. And you like, damn, like, this dude is talented.
I do like GG. Matt Moderno is gonna smack me through the phone if he hears me say this, but I'm on NBADraft.net, and his NBA comparison is Bam.
Hell no. He does not play like Bam at all.
Okay, I think that is, oh wait, I think there's one more that I missed because someone just replied. Is there honestly a path to, this is from Tommy, TCAS Wizards. Tommy, another one of my favorites. Good guy. Is there honestly any path to a championship during the next 3 years besides a tank? To a championship? No. Can they get to a point where they can be competitive enough to where I won't get irritated? Yes, there is. You replace the coach. We get lucky in the lottery this year. We get a really good talent, and we make a trade or make a decent addition in the offseason. And there is hopefully your path to not being garbage.
Yeah, even if they got the number one pick and got Vic, like, there is no path to a championship because, like I said earlier, like, it's five guys that have won the last 11 championships. Unless you have one of those five guys, you're probably not winning one. I just wanted to see some good basketball. Like, go win 50 games and make it to the conference finals and be a tough out. I'd be perfectly happy with that.
Can you imagine the streets in DC if we got the number one pick on lottery night?
Oh my God.
Could you imagine? Oh,
I'd be out there with him. I'm going out there.
I'd have to make the 45 right up the Capitoline.
I'm going right on about there with him.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, it would literally be like screaming.
That would be a top five Wizards moment to me in the last 20 years. If they got the number one pick for Victor Wembanyama, who's a generational prospect, that'd be a top five Wizards moment in the last two decades. Probably three, nah. four decades, honestly.
I can't wait. Hopefully we do. And hopefully we continue to lose season ends. I don't want to go any I don't want to drop in the lottery odds. I hope that ours keeps going up. I mean, that would be something. I mean, it honestly would probably be my favorite moment as being a Wizards fan. Outside of, I mean, I've had some enjoyable moments. The John Wall shot, the Paul Pierce shot.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some good moments, but I think that would take the cake, honestly. When John Wall was drafted, sure, that was fun. I had the shoes, I had all the gear and everything when I was in high school.
John Wall was great, but he wasn't seen as a generational prospect.
Nah.
This is like getting the number one pick in the 03 draft, or getting the number one pick when Zion came out. Like a guy that you're like, this is a generational guy that could change the league. Like, we ain't got a number one pick like that. Like if they got that, I'm going streaking. We on 7th Street, man.
The jersey would be purchased immediately.
Oh my God! Like immediately.
Custom carried.
It would all be worth it. Like all the suffering. The last 40 years, it would all be worth it, man.
Until he ruptures an Achilles in summer league, right?
Oh, God,
I'm
please.
Just kidding. All right.
Do that. But yeah, it would. It
so would be worth it. And, I don't wish injuries on any player, especially not a young player coming into the league. But it does worry me with his frame, you know, just because we've seen so many guys that are. I mean, we kind of have one. And he's been relatively healthy. And I think part of that, too, is, like, you have to get used to you're going up against, like, man, this is a lot of weird stuff. But you're going up against, like big dudes, right? So you're not going to be able to just mosey by everyone and muscle everyone. Like, if you try and post up against Giannis or Bam, well, you're probably going to get a little pushback in the knees. So you probably don't want to try doing that a whole lot. And I think Porzingis has gotten good about that. So I think that'd actually be really cool if we were able to get Vic, because Porzingis can kind of be that guy, like, hey, man, I know you think you're able to do all this stuff. I did too. I fucked up, you know, my shit for a long time, but I can, you know, sort of teach you how to use your body in a more conservative manner. I mean, even now, Porzingis does still do some stuff. I'm like, holy shit, there goes his leg. But then he's all right. But you can tell that he's gotten a lot calmer, because when he was like 19, 20, he thought he was quick as shit and was trying to make all these movements and all that. And it's like, man, like when you're that big, you just got to be more self-aware. And it's not that you can't still be an extraordinary talent. It's just you're not 6'3 and 190 pounds.
See, I think Vic is closer to Kevin Durant than he is to Kristaps Porzingis, like as just how they play. Like I don't expect Vic to be trying to bang and post up guys. Like I think he's gonna play on the perimeter and put it on the floor and be able to just shoot right threes right over top of you, step backs, mid range pull ups. Like, but he's gonna be 7'5" doing it.
Yeah,
and I just think that's something we ain't never seen before. Like we've seen Kevin Durant be a 7'6" version of himself, but imagine somebody like that but 7'5". That's how I view Vic. So
I mean, even if we want to like go the Giannis route or whatever, like Giannis never really was ever this offensive all around weapon that Durant is, but he's still been a presence in the league for a long time. I mean, most probably still consider him the best player in the league at this point, and he's won a championship, won MVP. So to be that big, it really doesn't take a whole lot to be considered one of the best, if not the best in the game, and a Hall of Famer. So
yeah, I mean, that's what the NBA is biased for height, man. Like it's a skill and height. So all of that skill in 7-5, yeah, I needs that. I needs that, man.
Yeah, it would be toxic around in the DMV if the Wizards win the lottery that night. It would be immaculate.
You have so many bandwagon hopping fans too. But I know. I'm all here for it, man. I would embrace it all. Let's get it going.
I mean, imagine you have.
Let me ask this: how many national TV games you think they would get if they got Vic?
A shit ton, because we already have a decent. Like again, like you're adding this to Porzingis, Kuzma, Beal, some of our other guys that we'll hopefully have, and if our younger guys get better, like it would be like that would literally be like a second round Eastern Conference potential if the coaching is good.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be a buffoon to mess that up, though.
Yeah, well, look who we have. is there anything else you would like to add?
No, that's all I got.
You know what I mean? We will go ahead and cut this then. Thank you guys for listening to another episode. Leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a comment. Subscribe if you're not already. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.